Okay, let's assemble ourselves, get ready. We have hundreds coming forward to get their seats. So let's begin with a word of prayer. First of all, I just want to thank y'all for coming to Bible class and not watching the Democrats debate. And see which socialists will be nominated to run, and which one is more socialistic than the other, or better articulating it. And so let's begin with the word of prayer, and the purpose of the prayer, to test yourself to see if you're trusting in the Spirit, who is a true teacher. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so dependent upon your word, and we're so grateful that you inspired the writers of Scripture to write what you would have said, and then preserve that writing over the centuries, and then the accumulation of the 66 letters and books that you wanted, and then, Heavenly Father, now tonight, the illumination of the truth is there from your Spirit. We depend so much on him. And Father, we pray now that your Spirit will open our eyes to things you'd have us to see in the great book of Ezekiel. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, a couple of things. First of all, the Tony, the owner of this building, left me this note. And I'll just read it for you. If anyone is looking for some supplemental income, primarily a 4 to 5 hour of work on Saturday or Sunday, the landlord of the building is seeking someone to organize paperwork and to research better alternatives to use. The position requires someone with very basic office skills. Prior experience in insurance field is not required. Mainly just the time and commitment for one of the 2 weekend days. And if you're interested, I'll get you in touch with Tony. So there's that. Now, one of the fun things I enjoy doing every day, every morning, I get up and I turn on my wife's coffee, and then I go into my office and I check on today in Christian history. And on June the 25th, yesterday, June the 25th, in 1530, now Martin Luther nailed the 96 Theses on the church wall on the 1517. So this is now some 13 years later. And if you know anything about it, it got hectic. Some of the people just used it to tear up things and destroy the Roman church, and all kinds of horrible things happened. And so a group of Lutherans, followers of what Luther was teaching, got together. And I want to read to you, and I ask Skip to put it on the board. And because through faith the Holy Ghost is received, hearts are renewed and endowed with new affections, so as to be able to bring forth good works. For Ambrose says, faith is the mother of a good will, and a right doing. For man's powers without the Holy Ghost are full of ungodly affections and are too weak to do works which are good in God's sight. And I just was overwhelmed with that it's by faith. People don't see that. Most people do not, you're not filled with the Spirit by faith, and it is really a tragedy, the dilemma in Christendom, the body of Christ around the world, as far as the number of people that understand how are you filled with the Spirit, how do you move from sin that you commit as a believer, and back into the power of the Spirit. And it's just amazing, they walk right over by faith through grace, by grace through faith. Now, in 1526, a few years before this one, the one I read to you was 1530, Switzerland. This is so great. Switzerland government announced freedom of religion for both sexes, male and female, and that's quite a statement, and for all classes of citizens. You now have the freedom to choose the Roman Catholic Church or Reform. If you choose Reform, you'll no longer be put to death, but you will be banished from the kingdom. And that's what they call religious freedom. And in 1836, Isaac Kimbrough went before the Texas legislature, and he said that while he was in Tennessee giving up some funds to start a college, a Christian college, he was held up in Tennessee. But he ended up convincing the people that were holding him up not only not to hold him up, but to contribute money to his coming college. So he wanted to tell them that his college is gaining money, and from robbers, he talked them into not robbing him, but he must have been some talker. Should have been a preacher. Okay. Let's open the Word of God to Ezekiel chapter 2. Ezekiel chapter 2, where we continue our study. I'm so sorry about last week, and I guarantee you, the next time they forecast tornadoes and hailstorms, I'm not going to believe them, and it'll come. And I don't know what to do about that. But here we go. We're going to have all these tornadoes and all that. Not even a drop of rain did we get in Plano at our house. Not a drop of rain. And but that's the way it goes. And I like to think worshiping is not a matter of endurance. It's a joy and a privilege. It's not the test to see who's going to fight the tornadoes to come, who's that devoted or not. It's not what it's about. So to drop class on that is, I think, is a wise thing to do. But we've had it twice now this year, and both times nothing's happened. So anyway, we're in the midst of studying Ezekiel. Now, verse 3. Now, let's go ahead and pick up where we left off 2 weeks ago so that you're back into the groove of where we are. So let's look at Ezekiel chapter 2. And Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 1, this he said to me, son of man. A very important phrase throughout the whole book of Ezekiel. Stand on your feet. In the previous chapter, he got down on his on the floor in the presence of the Lord. Stand on your feet, that I may speak with you, grace. As he spoke to me, the Spirit entered me and set me on my feet. I just love that. He couldn't even stand up without the power of the Holy Spirit. He was so dependent on the Holy Spirit, and people, so are we. And it's a tragedy that people don't understand that. I know people that, well, if you know a lot of Bible doctrine, that's the issue. They don't know anything about the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit, people, that gives us the power. Now, though the Spirit entered me and set me on my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. And this whole thing of speaking brings me to the Colossians study on Sunday morning, where we're to speak. The words that come out of our mouth should be grace. But we'll deal with that Sunday morning. Now, let's take a look at where we are now. Verse 3 begins the call of Ezekiel. And it's very important today for any young man or any man who receives the gift of pastor teacher and realizes it. Ezekiel 2:3. Then he said to me, okay, then, he's up, he's listening, he's empowered by the Holy Spirit. Not filled, as we are in the church age, not indwelt. They were not indwelt in the Old Testament. We're indwelt in the church age. But they could be empowered by the Holy Spirit. So he's standing up, listening, and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Then he said to me, son of man, I am sending you to the sons of Israel. Okay, right there. He knows who his audience is. Who's he going to talk with? Now, they're now defined for him. A rebellious people who have rebelled against me, and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. So it started with the generation before this one, with the fathers. People, I cannot ever overemphasize the importance of the mother and the father and the family set up that God has set up. America is under siege to destroy the family with homosexuality, lesbianism, all this kind of thing. And it's working. They're destroying the American family. But it is so vital for the upbringing, the training, and the teaching of children. And you can see that Ezekiel definitely is going to be in need of the Holy Spirit. A rebellious people. I don't know if I, when I, of course I was too young to really relate on anything, but let's just say after seminary and getting ready to be guided to a local assembly, if in the night I heard the Lord say, you're going to have a rebellious group of people. Well, send somebody else. I'm going to go sell shoes. I'm going to sell insurance. That's what seminary students do. They're not in ministry. They sell shoes or insurance. Okay. The fathers are rebellious. So you can see he's definitely going to need the Holy Spirit. They have transgressed against me. People, we all sin. There's no such thing in the church age as sin as perfection. In the millennium, with the new covenant, the Jews will not be able to sin. But in the church age, born-again believers who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, but in the millennium, they will be indwelt and empowered where they cannot sin. The Jews. Gentiles will be able to, but not Jews. So, we're able to sin, and we do. We have mental attitude sins, sins of the tongue that were studied on Sunday morning, and overt sins. So, we're all going to sin. But people, this verse describes a sin of rebellion against God. Against God, against His Word, against His leaders, His teachers. There's a rebellion here. And it describes this generation of Israelites who do not care about sinning against God, because they don't care about God. This is why they're not in their land. It's very simple to understand when you read chapter 2, as well as many other places in Ezekiel, why they're not in Israel. Why they're not being blessed. They are rebellious people. They're under severe divine discipline. But even in that condition, God is still merciful. He is sending them a powerful prophet with a powerful message under the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's take a look at the people to whom anyone with the gift of pastor teacher may be confronted. A rebellious people. This is a people, the Hebrew word, do not condone, or the people who do not care about the authority of the Word of God. An immoral people, a people who condone and commit abomination against God. Abomination, homosexuality, and idolatry. Not only do they condone it, not only do they engage in it, they condone it. They began their mission to be against God. And that's their position. And people, make no doubt about it, a mass of leaders in America today, while the foundation of this country, they began congressional sessions with prayer and sometimes even Bible studies, and that's on record. They had congressional meetings where they studied chapters of the Bible, and they spent time in prayer. See? They believed in the true God. They believed in God working in guiding them and this nation. See? They respected the Bible and the men of God, divinely inspired. Today, we have non-Christian, anti-Christ Muslim leading in the opening prayer in our Congress. We have immorality condoned and encouraged. But we should not be surprised. Hold your place and look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. What does this transgression mean? Romans chapter 1, and let's look at verse 32. The last verse in chapter 1 of Romans 1. And although they, the leaders, know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. That's what's going on in America, at every level, in our government. Not only do they do it, they give hearty encouragement to the practice of it. See, this is a rebellious people to whom Ezekiel is being sent to. See, but I often wonder even today, denominations that are so against the Word of God and violating the Word of God in so many areas. But why does that surprise me when they've distorted the gospel? I mean, I don't care. I care, but it's not a great deal what a person may think about moral issues if he's straight on the gospel, at least. But they're not even straight on the gospel. They distorted the gospel. So why should I care that they distort morality? Why should I care that they distort worship and other things in the Word of God, from the Word of God? If you don't have the gospel right, it doesn't matter what else you're doing. If that's not true, and therefore, people, I beg you, please be in prayer for pastor teachers who teach the truth. John Hintz, Jody Brown, Robbie Dean, Dick Olson, any pastor you know who's teaching the truth, who knows the truth of what's going on. This is so important to be in prayer for these men and realize what they're up against. Okay, now let's look at Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 4. Where we have these people Ezekiel is to speak to, further described. I'm sending, I, Jesus Christ, am sending you, Son of Man Ezekiel, to them who are stubborn and obstinate children. Well, wait a minute, you just said the rebellious. Is this added to it? Yep, it's added to it. They are stubborn and obstinate. Now, it's worse than the English reads. You get an idea if you have a New American Standard from the marginal notes. If you have a New American Standard, the marginal notes were under stubborn. It says, the ones stiff-faced and hard-hearted. So it's worse than even being stubborn. This is close to the Hebrew. Stiff-faced, hard-hearted. We have the Hebrew adjective, meaning hard, cruel, severe, strong, violent, fierce. Then, with this adjective, is a noun meaning face. Only, as one lexicon says, word study dictionary of the Old Testament, says that most of the time, this word, fundamentally meaning face, is used figuratively, where the face is used for the entire person, or for his personality, for his character, reflecting what the person is like in their soul. So, when it says here that they are stiff-faced, that's their soul. People, they're hard against God, against the Word of God, against the plan of God. And that's why they're not in their land. Why should America bless America? Look where we are. We have no reason why America should be blessed by God anymore. We are totally against God's plan and His order of things. And saved by the president right now, we were going to be anti-Semitic against Jerusalem. But the current president, at least, is pro-Jerusalem, pro-Israel. But this is the people stiffed against the word of the Lord. Stiff-faced, hard-hearted, used to describe their attitude toward God and His word. How perfectly describes much of America today. Now we have another word, obstinate, stubborn, stiff-faced, and hard-hearted. The word obstinate in the English, where again in the margin of the New American Standard, that's why I love the margin of the American Standard. They try to be as close to the original as they can, and when it just doesn't, they'll get the stuff in the margin. And I love that. Okay, I entered Dallas Seminary, King James. That's it. But the New American Standard came out in 72, and in 73, in the Hebrew class, we were all just using New American Standard, because it's just so close. I didn't have to do as much work correcting it. And with the Greek. Okay, obstinate. Margin of the NASB, hard-hearted. Again, in the Hebrew, we have an adjective meaning firmness, strength, or stubbornness, plus a noun rendered heart. See? As one's inner nature. Therefore, hard-hearted. They do not care about anything that's righteous before God. Nothing that is righteous or right before God. This describes where America is going today. We don't care. We don't care in our culture. We don't care in our art. We don't care in our music. We don't care in our morality. We don't care about the Word of God. We don't care about what's right before God. See? And so they're hard-hearted against the teaching of morality or spirituality. There is a very important principle of history. The further a people, Old Testament or America, the further a people are Germany, the further a people move away from the Lord, move away from His Word, the more immoral that people will be. That is a principle of all history. The further people move away from the cross, that means that they once were there and they started moving away. Once they started moving away, they became immoral. Yes. That's my observation of history. No, I'm not quoting anyone. If I was quoting, I'd have given him credit. Yeah. No. Okay. Look first at the spiritual condition of America. Take a look at it. Then moral or immoral conditions of America. Let me just read some things to you. One, we consume more than one half of the whole world's illegal drugs produced in the world. Yet we constitute only 5% of the world's population. But we consume more than one half of the illegal drugs. Two, we spend $2.8 billion per year on internet pornography, which is more than half of the worldwide total of $4.9 billion. Out of 4.9, 2.8 is spent in America on internet pornography. People, don't just let that flow off. Consistent pornography, and this is proven, doctors, will wreck your brain. It diminishes your ability to think. That's what happens when you get absorbed with pornography. And this nation is in an epidemic of pornography. And it is damaging to the American people. Three, our rate of cohabitating partners. That means, one, unmarried people cohabitating, having sex, adultery, all these kind of issues. Our rate of cohabitating partners has increased tenfold just since 1960. I've been born longer than that. A totaling over 12 billion unmarried partners today. Immorality. What does that do? What does it matter if two people decide with themselves they want to have sex? Who are they bothering? They're not bothering anybody. Yes, they are. You've got to understand God's structure of society, God's order of the family, of marriage, of what God has done for a nation in setting up the divine institutions of the family. Four, our divorce rate is the highest of any nation in the world. Five, 40% of all our children, 40% of all our children are born to unmarried women. No fathers involved. Six, we spend over $100 billion per year on gambling. Mostly by the poor who can't afford it. $100 billion on gambling. And it's not just in Las Vegas. Seven, our nation has become a debt junkie, leading the world in both government debt and personal debt. Eight, the blasphemy of God's name is commonplace in our society. It's hard to watch a movie where God's name is not blasphemously used, or Jesus Christ. I could take a lot in a movie, but when they use the name Jesus Christ or God, it just cuts right through me. And I could sit there, maybe wrongly, take a lot of stuff, but that just cuts right through me. So the blasphemy of God's name in movies, in magazines, just everything, TV. And then nine, 17.6 million Americans, 17.6 million Americans are alcoholics or have an alcoholic problem. These things are given by Dr. J. David Lehman, L-E-H-M-A-N. Okay, this just gives you the idea of the moral condition of our country. Okay? I don't know about all of you. I know, and my wife's even made statements before. I live in a very confined little world, just a little bitty world. I go into my office, I come out of my office. I go back into my office, I come out of my office. I may go to Kroger's. I may go to Sam's. I may go to a filling station. Once in a while, we go to a movie. Huh? Chick-fil-A with my grandchildren. But I'm lost as far as what's really going on in the world. I read stuff like this, and I just go, where is it going on? See? All this thing happening. Now, look at God's description of these people that Ezekiel is said to, and see if he's not describing America today. Rebellious, transgressors, stiff-faced, hard-hearted, and people, be sure you understand that this is spiritual rebellion, spiritual transgressions, spiritually stiff-faced, spiritually hard-hearted, spiritual. The problem today is spiritual. Look at Ezekiel chapter 3. We're not studying Ezekiel 3, but I just want to show you something coming up. Look at Ezekiel chapter 3. Let's just read 5 through 7. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 5. For you are not being sent to a people of unintelligible speech or difficult tongue, difficult language, but to the house of Israel. History has already shown Israel was the first nation to develop a vocabulary, even over the Orient. They had a vocabulary that God could then give them His word in writing. So these are smart people. They're not dumb people. Verse 6, nor to many peoples of unintelligible speech or difficult language whose words you cannot understand, but I have sent you to them who should listen to you. Yet the house of Israel will not be willing to listen to you. To me, those are the saddest words in the Bible, but they will not listen. Since they are not willing to listen to me, they'll not listen to you. They're not willing to even listen to me. Surely, the whole house of Israel is stubborn and obstinate. Same words we just studied. So, this is the people that this wonderful Ezekiel is being sent to. I think God has had a long talk with the Lord. I just said, let's sit down and talk about this again. See? But he didn't. So, not intelligent and not intelligently problem, but they have a spiritual problem. It's amazing how many Christian parents today care more about the intellectual status of their children than they do their spiritual. They make sure they go to a good school with good teachers, a strict grading system, and then take them to the church on the corner where the truth isn't even taught and don't even care. Well, they have a good youth program. They have good music. They have free guitars and two or three drum sets, and they do all that. And they do 2 hours of that, worshiping God with this music. That's where they send them. They don't care about their spiritual knowledge, their spiritual maturity. See? So, Ezekiel is commissioned to be their prophet. My only statement is, lots of luck, Zeke, because you're headed for trouble. Now look at the grace of God at the end of verse 4. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 4, the end of it. I am sending you to them who are stubborn, obstinate children. Now look what he says. And you shall say to them, thus says the Lord God. How gracious is that? How gracious is that? God should have... See, this is why it's good. Humans are not God. I would have said, you don't want to listen? I'm not talking. I'm out of here. You don't want to hear my word? I'm not giving it. I'm out of here. Not God. Not God. He is so loving and so gracious that in the midst of severe discipline, He still gives them His word. Now, you ready for this? This phrase, thus says the Lord God, is used 317 times in just the book of Ezekiel. 317 times, thus says the Lord God. If you ever are led by the Holy Spirit, on a cold or a rainy day, or out by the pool or by yourself, to just pick up the book of Ezekiel and read. And I hope you are sometime. I want you to pay attention to repetition. Repetition of words, of phrases, Son of Man. Repetition of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Repetition of the description of these people. Repetition of such phrases as, thus says the Lord God. He cares, people. He cares. He has voices. Verse 5. Very important for every pastor teacher today is verse 5. When people do not want to come and listen to the teaching of the Word of God. Verse 5. I had to pay special attention to it. Even if it just took Sunday morning's group, not all the people around, but where are they? They're not here. Not here. The Sunday morning crowd, where are they? They don't care. They don't care. That's why I give thanks for you. I give thanks for you. And I hate to say it this way, but y'all give me a salary for studying and teaching the Word of God. Little do you know, I pay you to let me do it. But I don't want you to know that. See? But the point is, listen to what he says in verse 5. As for them. As for them. See, this gets to another real issue. Now, look at verse 6. And you, son of man. So, first of all, as for them. Verse 5. As for them. You, Ezekiel, have your instructions. You have the power. But as far as these obstinate people are concerned, listen to what he says. Whether they listen or not. I think some of the saddest words in the Bible, but they would not listen. Whether they listen or not, for they are a rebellious house. Here we have another word that is used in verse 3 for rebellion. Another different word that's used in verse 3. This Hebrew word means rebellious, but this word shows why they are hard-hearted. Why they will not listen. They are determined not to listen and not to obey the teachings of the Torah. They are determined. We're not going to. They've made up their mind. We don't want Bible teaching. They've made up their mind. I'm not going to a Bible church or any church where they're going to teach the Bible. I don't want that. I want nice sounding messages that make me feel comfortable. Make me smile. Itch my ears. Scratch my itching ear. That type of thing. They would not listen. A house of rebellion appears over 12 times in describing these people. Instead of a house of Israel, house of rebellion. Now, look at verse 5. For, as for them, whether they listen or not, for they are a house determined not to listen to the Word of God. But they will know, here's why you got to keep teaching. They will know that a prophet had been among them. They will not be able to say, you didn't send us a prophet. You didn't send us a teacher. There's going to be a lot of Christians at the judgment seat of Christ. I won't talk about the unbelievers at the Great White Throne Judgment. There'll be a lot of Christians at the judgment saying, well, we didn't know. You didn't teach us. Oh, yeah. There was that little church there in that little corner. There's that church over there, that church over there. I sent my people. And they studied and taught the Word of God. You didn't care. You wanted to go where the show was. You wanted to go where all the hipla was. You didn't want the truth. I'm faithful. See, that's why people like me and Robbie Dean and John Hintz and many, many, many others have to be faithful in studying the teaching of the Word of God, even though people don't care. This is the faithfulness of God. That's what this is a demonstration of. Bible churches across America, from California to the East Coast, from Texas up to Canada, there are pastors just scattered here and there, one or two here, one or two there, who study and teach the Word of God. Don't have very many people. Lousy income. But they study and teach. It's not about the income. It's about their faithfulness to their mission. What they have to do. And that's what he's saying to Ezekiel. Even though they will not listen, so as to learn, they will know that God has sent them a prophet. They are still my people. That's what he's saying to Ezekiel. These are my people. These are my people and I care about them. And that's about to believe the body of Christ in America. These are my people. Now they may flock 20,000 listening to some guy who smiles and doesn't even know the gospel. And they won't listen to Bible teaching, but they're my people. And I'm going to send them the true teaching of the Word of God. Now, I've got a few seminaries scattered around the country that teach these men that want to know the truth, Greek, Hebrew, church history, and how to teach the Word of God. They are scattered around. And that means some good ones. And not only that, the internet today, you really don't even need a seminary education. There's so many programs on the internet that do everything for you. See? I've lost a lot of my skills, and I can just go on there, and there it is. See? But He's faithful. God is faithful. Now, what is so powerful in these few words is the grace and the love of God along with His wrath. Yes. Do what? No. And that's good. What is powerful is that in these few verses is the grace and love of God along with His wrath. His wrath, they're rebellious, they're hard-hearted, they're stubborn, all of these things. But here's my word. Notice how horrible these people are. And yet, note the following. One, God does not give up on them. God does not give up on them. He sends them a prophet. Two, He calls them Israel, joining of the northern and southern kingdom. Three, He calls them children, His children. Four, He still recognizes them as a house, the house of Israel. And then, point five, the important one from verse four, thus says the Lord God. He will give them His word. He cares so much for these people, like a loving parent, like the prodigal's father, prodigal son's father. He was there. Prodigal son's out there finally eating with the hogs. And you got to understand, he's a Jew. How low he went as a Jew eating with the hogs. That is just, they just don't do that. Don't even eat a hog, much less eat with them. That's how low he got. And he went home. And as he came up the road, his father was standing there. His father probably looked out there every day. Maybe have had one of the servants on guard every day, all day. And when they saw him coming, Father was there waiting for him. That's God the Father. He's there. So, in these same verses is the love and compassion of the Lord for His servant Ezekiel. One, supplies Ezekiel with the power of the Holy Spirit. To us, in Galatians 3:5, He supplies us with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, supplies Ezekiel with a message. We in the church age have the inerrant, infallible Word of God. Three, gives him encouragement. No matter how rebellious they may be, no matter if they listen or not, you just keep on pronouncing my message. So Ezekiel is given warning, power, and encouragement. With that in mind, look over back at Jeremiah chapter 1, another of God's prophets at this time in history. Jeremiah did not make it to Babylon. They took him down to Egypt. But let's take a look at Jeremiah chapter 1. Called at the same time during the Babylonian captivity, just prior to it. Jeremiah chapter 1, and let's read verses 17 through 19. Now, gird up your loins, and arise, and speak to them all which I command you. Do not be dismayed before them. I love that. I'm sure Jeremiah gets so dismayed. But don't be dismayed, or I will dismay you before them. Look how the Lord is stirring on Jeremiah. And he's going to be stirring on Ezekiel too, I'll show you that. But if you get dismayed at them, I'm going to dismay you in front of them. Verse 18, now, behold, I have made you today as a fortified city. One man is a fortified city. And as a pillar of iron. And as walls of bronze against the whole land. To the kings of Judah, because he had to speak to the kings of Judah, to the princes, to its priests, and to the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they will not overcome you, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. That's what he told Jeremiah. They're going to come out against you, but they'll not be victorious. I will come against them, and I will be with you. So he is going to be with them. All right, let's go back to Ezekiel chapter 2. Ezekiel chapter 2. And let's look at verse 6. Ezekiel 2, 6. The Lord is still encouraging Ezekiel, even in coming suffering. Look what he says. And you, and here's that phrase, son of man, an honorable phrase given only to Daniel and to the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and to no one else. And you, son of man, neither fear them, nor fear their words. Through thistles and thorns, describes the ministry that is going to be piercing and difficult, are with you. And you sit on scorpions. That caused me to be uncomfortable as I was studying it. Sit on scorpions. Deadly. Neither fear their words, nor be dismayed at their presence, for they are a rebellious house. Gigi, I thought about sending just those things to Trump. That's just sending that. Just sending those words. They do not fear them. Do not fear their words. The thistles and thorns are with you, and you sit on scorpions. Neither fear their words, nor be dismayed at their presence. For they are a rebellious house. Ezekiel is not to be afraid of these scorpious people. Note the drama of this verse. Fear is given four times. Four times not to fear. Not worry about them. This let him know he was in for a rough ride. When somebody keeps saying that, don't fear, don't worry, don't... Well, wait a minute, what's come on, be coming here that I ought to fear him? See? So, that gave him a clue. Four times something about fear, just this one verse. Then let him know it was in for a rough ride. Now, look at chapter 3, verse 8. Chapter 3, verse 8. Behold, I have made your face, I love this, as hard as their faces, and your forehead as hard as their foreheads. I love that. In other words, your Ezekiel will be just as steadfast for the word of God as they are steadfast against it. Don't be dismayed by them when they're dismayed by it. When they don't want it, don't you worry about that. Don't look at those walking away. You just continue doing what you're doing. I like to put this in boxing terms. I'm going to make your head harder than the glove that hits your head. See? So, you're going to be constantly hitting the head. Your head's going to be tougher and stronger than the boxing glove that comes against you in a boxing ring. Okay. Why? Why will the Lord do this for Ezekiel? Look at coming up in 3:17. Chapter 3:17 tells us why. Son of man, I have appointed you a watchman to the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, warn them from me. Why is the Lord making him a stronghold? Why is the Lord making him tougher than the adversaries? Because I've appointed you a watchman. And a watchman on the wall has to be stronger than anybody else. He's got to warn of the coming problems, the coming dangers. And that's what Ezekiel is being told here. I have made you, I have appointed you a watchman on the wall to take care and deliver my message even when they don't want it. Okay, let's go back to 2:7. Chapter 2, verse 7. But you are to speak my words. Okay, there it is. Not your words, not psychology, not human viewpoint, not nice words, my words. You are to speak my words to them, whether they listen or not, for they are rebellious. I'm reminding you. Why is Ezekiel, or any messenger of God, to keep on speaking God's word, even when they will not listen? Why? Why should people study for a small group out of a whole group when they don't even want to listen? Why should a pastor do that? Why should Ezekiel do that? Isaiah 55:11. Isaiah 55:11. You put these on the board, don't you? So they read them. Alright. I'll give you a second. Isaiah 55:11. Got it? Alright. So will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. Now, this does not mean they're going to respond. Ezekiel puts out the word of God. What's his objective? They will be without excuse. They will be without excuse. They will have heard the truth. So they will without excuse. So it will, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. God's grace, God's love stands vindicated. Whether people listen to it or not, he stands vindicated. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Okay? Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And we're just going to read verses 15 and 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. You got it? Okay. All right, verse 15. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. We're a fragrance to God. God hears his word throughout the land. Whether the people listen or not, God's listening. This was great encouragement to me. Verse 16. To the one, an aroma from death to death. To the other, an aroma from life to life. And who is adequate for these things? So, this is why Ezekiel, pastors, have to keep teaching the word of God. It's just simply the plan of God. So no matter the lack of response from these people, does not invalidate him and does not invalidate his message. And that should be very encouraging to any pastor. Whether people listen or not, that's not his validation. If he's teaching the truth of the word of God, that's the validation before God. God is listening. He is a sweet fragrance to God. That's what he is. See? And that's the faithfulness of Ezekiel in the presence of unfaithfulness of people. Paul declares in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, you don't need to get it up. 1 Corinthians 4:2, in this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy or faithful. That's what a pastor is required to be. We judge by the number of people that they have. How many people Joel Osteen has? How many people this person has? How many people that person has? God doesn't do that. God evaluates, are you teaching the truth? Are you teaching my word? That's all I want to hear. And that's all that I care about. Now, let's go back to Ezekiel. We got time for one more verse. Ezekiel chapter 3. And let's look at verse 8. Now you, son of man. Okay. Dealt with the people. Now you, son of man, listen to what I'm speaking to you. Do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I'm giving you. Why would Ezekiel be rebellious? Because they're not listening. Because of their continual rebellion. People, this aggravates you. When I was in the Army, basic training, let me tell you something. We knew when we aggravated the drill sergeant. He let you know right away he was aggravated. And you do not want to have an aggravated drill sergeant. You don't want to. They're nasty people. And that's what would be prone to Ezekiel. Oh, yeah! Well, let me tell you something! Oh, you know what it'd be like? Ha! Here's a good one. It'd be like old Jonah to Nineveh. Y'all are all going to hell, and I'm glad! Because you won't respond to the gospel. What are y'all doing responding to the gospel? No, don't do that! See? He rebelled. And that's exactly what Ezekiel is being told not to do here. Calls him not to become rebellious. Eating the word of God, where he says, open your mouth and eat what I'm giving to you. Eating the word of God is a picture of faith. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Eating the word of God is also a picture of assimilation of the word of God through your whole body. That is, throughout your whole life. See? I love the way Jeremiah responds to this concept. Jeremiah 15:16. Jeremiah 15:16. You'll notice there's a lot of the same things going on with Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Alright, you have it? Okay. Your words, that's all I got. Your words were found, and I ate them. And your words became for me a joy, his inner happiness, and the delight of my heart. For I have been called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. That's his joy. It's his pleasure. Chapter 2, verse 9 of Jeremiah. Then I looked, and behold, a hand was extended to me, and lo, a scroll. Oh, this is Ezekiel, chapter 2, verse 9. And a scroll was given to me. And he spread it out before me, and it was written in front and back, usually only on one side. This is chapter 1 of Ezekiel. And written on it were lamentations, mourning, and woe. And he ate the whole scroll. Okay, we will end here with eating on the word of God. And we'll resume at Ezekiel chapter 3 next Wednesday night. No, wait a minute. Yeah, the camp's not next Wednesday. Next week, is it? So next week. Yeah, it's next week. It's the following week. We will not have class Wednesday night of the camp. But we will we'll have it next week. But we won't have it the week of the camp. Okay. Let's go. Any questions about tonight's teaching? Yes.
So it gets on the internet. Jeremiah 3 talked about dying. Thou shalt, or surely you'll surely die. Just struck me. Same thing that's used in Genesis. You will surely die. And what happened to them there? They went from the Garden of Eden to not the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
And here they went from the land of milk and honey to not the milk and honey.
Yeah, good. Very good. Yeah.
And that phrase is used multiple times in Ezekiel. You will surely die. And also the opposite, you surely live. So it's got the...
Oh, we're going to come across it. Good. You bring it up again. That's good. All right. All right. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we love your word. is a joy to us. It's not an intrusion on our time or our lives. It's a joy to open your word and see what you're doing in the past, in the present, in the future. You're in control. And we can be at peace. We can be at peace with things that happened in the past, things that are going on right now throughout the whole world, things in the future. What an awesome God you are to let us know these things. You care so much about us. You let us know. Father, we praise you. And I pray that your Spirit can use the things we've seen tonight for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen.